And we're going to be talking about some type of a devotional that Shelley presented here not too long ago about being filled with righteousness, and we're going to correlate the two together. The Revelation Overcomer is a church member who desires to be filled with all the fullness of God. Once a person is saved, they have the unction of the Holy Spirit that lives inside them. They have an anointing that lives inside them from God. It's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God immediately begins to work inside the soul, inside the heart of that person. And the Holy Spirit wants them to be filled with all the fullness of God. The Spirit is there. But God wants that person to experience the joy and satisfaction that God's Spirit is more than capable of giving that individual while they are still here on this planet and very much alive. In Revelation 21:7 and 1 John 5 and 4, I've preached on this so many times, I'm not going to reiterate. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is the Revelation Overcomer. This is in the book of Revelation. This is a church member, a book written to churches. In 1 John 5 and 4, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And in Luke 22:32, discussing faith, and discussing a church member who had long since brought forth meat worthy of repentance and been baptized by John the Baptist and was a fully fledged member of the First New Testament church, Jesus has something very interesting to say to him that involves what it means to be a church member who is an overcomer. Jesus said to Peter, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." We know that Peter couldn't lose his salvation, but every church member has the opportunity to allow his faith to fail and not to grow and not to be filled with all the fullness of God. That desire to be filled with all the fullness of God is readily apparent when a person is saved. I remember when Russell Ellis was saved, he was just so excited about it, he couldn't wait to tell everybody, and it was a great joy in his life. But the same spirit that saved you can be quenched by the inner man. He can be put down. He can be shoved to one side because God has allowed this to be so. And it is possible for a person to be saved and spend his whole life squashing the Spirit. He said, "But I have prayed for thee," speaking to Peter, a member of the First New Testament church, "that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." As your pastor, that's the need in my life. I need to be converted. And there is not one single one of you sitting here that is a member of one of the Lord's churches that does not need to have this conversion process go on in your life from the time you are saved, and especially after you are scripturally baptized, for the rest of your life. If you think that you are above this and you don't need it, you are the one who probably needs it more than anyone else in this building, because there are no exceptions to this. After God saves your soul and seals it, God wants your life to be changed. He wants you to be converted. He wants you to learn to think a different way. He wants you to learn to let the mind of Christ be in you. And it's a process that goes on in the mind and heart of the pastor. And if it doesn't go on in the mind and heart of the pastor, and the pastor doesn't get converted, and if he isn't being converted while he's pastoring the church, how on earth can he especially and in any way strengthen you if he himself isn't being converted, if he himself isn't seeing his own flaws, if he himself isn't seeing his own shortcomings, if he himself is realizing his faith can fail, if he isn't desiring to be filled with all the fullness of God? That's the problem in some of our churches. It was the problem in this church for a long time. Hopefully, it's not the problem right now. But I realize I could fully revert back, but I give you my word before the Lord. I know I'm a sinful man. I know I do sinful things. I know I have to continue to ask for forgiveness. But I do give you my word. I do desire to be filled with all the fullness of God. I do want to be converted, because that's the only way that God will ever be able to use me to strengthen you if I'm converted and share with you the very things of which I am guilty that God is helping me with on a day-to-day basis. Matthew 5, 1 and 2. I want you to notice in Matthew 5, 1 and 2, it mentions the multitudes. Every time Jesus saw a huge group of people, and different preachers have different viewpoints on this, and some will tell you different things, and I recognize that, but I can only preach up to the limitation of the leadership of God's Spirit and my yielding to Him, and hope and believe that I have correctly interpreted. Every time Jesus would see the multitudes, he couldn't talk to them. He couldn't deal with them in a spiritual way, because by and large, most of them were no more spiritual than Moody's goose. And so what he would do when the multitudes would come, he would give them some things about salvation. He would tell them some things about salvation. He would give them sufficient information that they could exercise repentance toward his heavenly Father and put their faith in him as Messiah. But when he really wanted to get down to the nitty-gritty, the actual desire to be filled with all the fullness of God, he would always call out that little small group we call the first New Testament church that Jesus organized, so often referred to as his disciples. So in Matthew 1 and 2, and seeing the multitudes, what happened? He withdrew himself. He went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. This was the first New Testament church. And he opened his mouth and taught his disciples, saying, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In order for a person to hunger and thirst after righteousness, they have to be saved. And in this particular case, these men, every single one of them, were not only saved, but they had yielded to baptism by the proper authority, by immersion, and they had received the same baptism that Jesus received, and they were a local, visible assembly of scripturally baptized believers that were coveted together to be filled with righteousness. They were following Jesus. Oh, sure, they had the wrong motives. They made all the same stupid mistakes that we made, and probably some that were even worse than what we made. But which do hunger and thirst after righteousness? They were following Jesus because they had that hunger and thirst, and they wanted to be filled. He said, Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then we find in Matthew 6, 33 and 34, he tells you what this actual desire or seeking for righteousness entails. He tells you, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If, as a born-again child of God, you feel no guilt about your lack of righteousness, you feel no shame because you are so sinful, and you don't have a hungering and thirst to be righteous, then I question your salvation. Because in every single saved person, there is an awareness, God be merciful to me, a sinner. There is an aware that the Apostle Paul had. For he said, For I know that in me there dwelleth no good thing. So when you talk about hungering and thirsting after righteousness, it's the awareness of how you have to depend upon the righteousness of God. And it humbles you before God. And you want to be righteous like God. And when you're seeking those things, there's a place that God means for you to seek them, a way that God means for you to seek them, and a time that God means for you to seek them. He says, Seek ye first hunger and thirst after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things of the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So what is life all about after you're saved? It's overcoming the world. How do you overcome the world? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hunger and thirst after his righteousness. And happy, Makarios, blessed will you be. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things of the world that the multitude sought after shall be added unto you. He says, Take therefore no thought for the morrow. He says, Don't sit around worrying about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. He said, That'll take care of itself. He said, Sufficient unto the day. What is sufficient unto the day? A desire to satisfy that hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Why? Sufficient as the day is the evil thereof. Fight one day at a time. Fight one battle at a time. And every day put up a fight against the flesh. Keep on trying, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And when you fail, ask God to forgive you. Let God's Spirit pick you up again and make another run. But the thing that is important in seeking after righteousness and being filled with the righteousness of God after you are saved is a continual fight against the flesh and the things of the world, and to keep on fighting against the world and the flesh until the day that you die. That's what an overcomer does. We find in Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore. Stand for something, or you don't stand for anything. Having your loins girt about with truth. That's how a person seeks after righteousness. to seek it through the truth, through what God says about it, through what God reveals of you to yourself, so you'll understand what righteousness really is. Stand therefore, having your girds loyed about with trooping, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yes, in heaven we'll be filled with the full and complete righteousness of God. Yes, in heaven we won't sin anymore. We won't have a sinful nature. But God means for us to hunger and thirst after righteousness while we're still here. And there's a way and a place and a time that God means for that to be done. In Matthew 5 and 6, again, blessed are they, he's speaking to church members, which do hunger and thirst. If you come to this church and you worship here, I guarantee you that there's a good possibility that the only reason you're coming here is because you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Because I'm not the most personable fella you ever met. And I'm not the most likable fella you ever met. And I'm not the easiest fella to get along with. And there are things about me I'm sure you don't like. So why do you come here? There is one thing about me that I like, and only one thing that I like: the leadership of God's Spirit in my heart and soul that presses upon me to preach the truth, no matter what the cost and what the price. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what people want that are hungering and feasting after righteousness. Sure, I make mistakes. Sure, I preach Scripture wrong sometimes. But I don't think you've ever questioned the fact that I try to preach it right. And hopefully, I think you've learned that when I have misused a verse, that I'll come back and flat tell you, I'm sorry and I made the mistake, certainly not the Lord. And that's what I want in the church. That's what I wanted when I was a young man. That's what everybody ought to want, the truth. Because it's the truth that is the hungering and thirsting in a soul to understand what righteousness is all about. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed is Makarios, it means happy. When a person begins to understand how unrighteous they are, how righteous Jesus is, and what God wants from them in life, and the pursuit of trying to live a righteous life, and never stopping to fight against the flesh in the world, even in the midst of conflict, that person has a certain happiness and joy in his life because he's knowing he's doing a battle by the Spirit of Christ that indwells him. I want you to notice what the Lord said in John 17, 17. He said, sanctify, hegaiso, set them. There wasn't anybody there but church members. They were the only ones there. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I've watched you all. I know you all. I'll tell you why Chili Cole is here. Because Chili Cole is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And Chili Cole has learned that the word is the truth. And that's where righteousness is. And that's the reason that Charlie Holloman's here. And that's the reason that Charlie Ellis is here. It's because they're seeking after righteousness. And they know the truth is in a particular place. And in that place, that hunger can be satisfied and filled. So why did the Lord give himself for the church? That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. What is seeking after righteousness? It's wanting to be set apart. It's wanting to be cleansed. It's wanting to know the truth. It's wanting to let the righteousness of Christ fill you and indwell you as you learn the truths of it from God's word. Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. So where does he do this? And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You want to be filled with the righteousness of God? You want to be happy in life? You're not going to get it out there in the world. And you're not going to get it by sitting and watching those freaks on television. You're going to get it in the place God put it, in a local visible assembly of scripturally baptized believers who are coveted together to carry out the truth. And there is where the righteousness of God and the presence of Christ exist in all its fullness. And the local church is his body, and that is where the fullness of him that filleth all in all and it is a filling and at least a satisfaction of knowing that even though I'm a sinner, I'm in the place worshiping God where I should be, and it's His body. And that's what this life is all about. And that's what hungering and thirsting is all about. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 2, 21, 22. In whom ye also are builded together. That's His body. That's the church. That's where the fullness of Him that dwelleth all in all filleth all in all. Why? For an habitation of God through the Spirit. You hungering and thirsting after righteousness after you've been saved? Then why not be in the place where the Spirit of the one in whom all the righteousness of God dwells fully makes His presence felt and known? Why not be in the place that the Scripture directs every child of God to be? Why not unite and be built together with a body of believers and where the presence of Christ indwells the midst of every assembly? Now unto Him, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, that is able to do exceeding abundant of all above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's the power that works in every one of God's children. And that power of God wants you to be filled with His righteousness. And He wants you to be where His presence is so you can feel the essence of His righteousness. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning when I talked about the end time events and the perilous times that are coming, there's only one Spirit that can get you through it, and it's God's Spirit. And that's where you need to be, in the place where God's Spirit dwells in a special way. And that's where you need to be worshiping. And that's where you need to be investing your life. And that's where your treasure and your heart needs to be. You put your heart and your treasure in God's local church and serve God here, you're really putting it in a bank that's in heaven that will never fade away. Think about it. Because it requires faith. He said, Simon, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, that's what I'm trying to do, because I've learned a very valuable lesson in life in my 66 years. I've learned that a man needs to invest his heart and his life and his soul, as does a woman, in the Lord's local New Testament church, because that's where the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the person and presence of Christ dwells. You need to think about that. Okay, we'll...